Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 35, Episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist for June 12th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. 2000 Party Over, whoops, out of time. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's Potatoes O'Brien. That is courtesy of at ATL Prince O' Wales on Twitter. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's not Miles, but it's so gray. I'm gonna make it any gray. Thank you for that, Whitney Houston.
That's Whitney Houston, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yep, the remix. Miss Stagg on Twitter, because, you know, just hit me with old R&B hits. That's how I do it. That's not really an R&B hit, but, you know, it's an anthem, isn't it?
Our guests always look so surprised, so confused.
I wasn't surprised. Well, you didn't even scream the intro. I was like, what?
I know.
What are you doing this week?
I heard it over the weekend, and like my wife has this streaming service, and the show just like comes on when we start our car, and I was like, damn, that's hard to listen to. So
wow.
I don't know. I think I'm over it.
Damn.
I can't come with that same
yo,
energy.
Yo, shout out to the people on Twitter who've been asking me like, yo, he just knocked that shit off. It's annoying.
They were right, apparently.
I fuck with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to have to make up for it in my own annoying way just to keep the opening as grating as possible.
Bring the energy on the
They're going to miss it.
Yeah, it's going to just be like, yeah! In the back. Anyway, so there you go.
Hey, yep. We are thrilled to have in our third seat, you know, one of the must follows on Twitter. I demand you follow
must.
Him. He is a screenwriter, a comedian, a podcast co-host. He is Demi Adigwebe.
Hello.
Hello. How
Thank
are you?
You for having me? I'm great.
We're thrilled to have you, man.
I'm excited to be here. There's so much shit that's happened this week.
I know. This is you're on for
this
a day
alone,
when it's
I just
and just not even the news. You're saying in your life, right?
Yeah.
Some shit went down this week.
I saw a dog. I mean,
wow.
A dog?
Yeah.
Was it pregnant?
Holy shit.
Didn't check.
Whoa, I saw a pregnant dog for the first time. That
really?
Was cool.
I don't
really
know what a pregnant dog looked like, I think.
Didn't know. It might not have been pregnant.
Just got an extended belly.
I'm just trying to add something to this conversation. Like,
hey,
I did something cool.
This story very full is dog. Good and worth talking about on the biggest news day so far in the history of this podcast.
Of my
maybe?
Life, probably.
Yeah, definitely, according to the president. All right, today we're going to talk about some trends with how millennials are getting fucked up. We're going to talk about one of the stranger details that is developing in late-stage capitalism that involves dominoes fixing our infrastructure. We are, of course, going to talk about the summit in Singapore and just all manners of the trailer that Trump presented, the
secret toilets, just everything.
Secret toilets, Dennis Rodman unraveling on Chris Cuomo's show.
Yeah, the real shit you need to know.
Uh-huh. We're going to talk about the big sporting event that is happening. We thought basketball season was over. It is just beginning because we are getting the one-on-one game to end all one-on-one games this weekend, yep. Kimmel versus Cruz. And we're going to talk about the hot new It couple, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson. Mm. So that was like the number one trending thing on Google all yesterday.
All right,
Pete Davidson.
Good for you guys.
Good for
real. Both. Seriously. But before we get into any of that, Demi, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I recently searched the word pander because I needed to find the exact word-for-word definition because something happened when Trump became president and I just had like a break and I no longer am able to get into arguments about politics on the internet because they'll just break me. Mm-hmm. So I have to take out my anger on something else, and that anger is just getting mad about movies. Uh-huh. Like getting into arguments with people, complete strangers, about movies. And since everyone was talking about Ocean's 8, people were just like, it's pandering to women. And I was like, that's not every fucking movie is pandering. Right. Every movie panders to everyone. And so I was like, here's the definition of the word fucking pander. And I just got into it. And I look back at shit that I do like that sometimes. I'm just like, I need to spend my time any other way, but that's a lot of
how
my
do you blow
time
your steam
now.
Off how do you get, your steam out?
I mean, watching movies and then also yelling yeah then getting not even getting angry about the movies themselves. I'm generally just kind of like, yo, all movies are good, but then seeing other people have like shitty takes on movies like not even it was good and I disagree, it was just some weird metatextual thing about how the industry is like not doing things properly because they're diversifying their interests and whatnot. I always get mad about, and then I'm just like, well, it's time to type a fucking paragraph about why this person's an asshole.
Just for everybody's gratification, pander, the definition is gratify or indulge in the verb form, and dated in the noun form, a pimp. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I looked it up.
Could you call somebody a pander?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is something that you think is overrated, Demi?
Ooh, I made a whole list. The thing is, at first, because my life currently is just movies, my list was just like, what have I been watching that I don't like?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was also just like, what is another thing that's not so serious? And I think LaCroix is overrated.
Ooh, God, you are the second person in a week.
Good. Yeah. It's not a good drink.
Why? Tell me why.
Because, first of all, sparkling water in general is just drink soda. You don't need, it's not good, it's not better than soda. It's a trick. Just drink water or drink soda.
Okay.
LaCroix specifically, I feel like, I don't know what happened in LA that everyone's just taken a sudden interest in LaCroix being the sparkling water, but I've tasted it many a time to try and convince myself that it's good.
You know,
good.
When times are tough and I'm not sipping Badois, yes, I will reach for a LaCroix just to feel like the working man.
Sure.
But you know, this fucking sodas are bad for you. As I get older, I don't know, are you in your 20s still?
I am.
Yeah, so when you get in your 30s, I realize, man, soda, like, that sugar just fucks my body up way more now. And that's one reason why I drink it. Anyway, that's because I'm old.
I just drink tea, which is also probably bad for me. But
No, tea's fine. People have been drinking it.
Mushroom tea? Drink? Opium tea?
Oh, yeah. So
did I not mention that?
Oh, I'm just synthesizing poppy pods in my house. And
Put weed leaves in a bag and dip it.
Now, a question I have is the LaCroix boom LA specific, because this is one of those things that I have a difficulty figuring out if it just blew up when I moved to LA or if it blew up everywhere in America and I just happened to live in LA.
It's very hard to take you seriously because you're in head-to-toe LaCroix merchandise.
Right.
You have a hat on, a t-shirt, hoodie, sunglasses.
Pamplemousse, man.
You have shutter shades with LaCroix printed on it.
You asked me to call you Mr. Pamplemousse when I walked in. Mr. Pamplemousse. I said no.
It's a great word. So producer Anna Hosnier has something
hop on the mic.
Add in here.
It was Joe Mandy.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Mandy made LaCroix a thing.
And then now, ditched it yeah, at its peak.
Because they were like, stop pretending we're sponsoring you. And he was like, well, you're dead now. But right. he was the one, from as far back as I can remember,
he was a LaCroix boy.
Tweeting about LaCroix all day, every day. And he really brought it into my consciousness, for sure, when I was on Twitter. Absolutely. I mean, I still am, but like, that
I
was
I just
like,
had it every like office and like set I would work on. It yeah. just became more
because
and more
because of Joe
thing.
Mandy.
No, not even yes, before Joe.
Exactly. They were like, this is courtesy of Mr. Mandy. We hope you enjoy it.
He bought it for every office in LA.
And that's broke. Another thing that I do wonder, is Joe Mandy a tastemaker and he therefore made that happen? Or
he's
does he read
maker,
the tea leaves?
LaCroix is
and,
bad.
Yeah. The tea oh, leaves,
he
so got to
on
speak.
The, he hopped on the wrong wave is what you're saying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, I used to fuck with Talking Rain. Okay. I remember that. T-Rain used to be my number one.
As they called it.
The T-Rain.
I worked on the show at midnight for a year, and they got Talking Rain, and all of my coworkers loved it so much that I just started getting like fake angry whenever someone would bring it into the office. Yeah. And then they would just like drink it and sit in front of me like, ah, just enjoying a nice glass of Talking Rain yep. just to see me get fake mad about right. it.
Talking Rain, also a good podcast for farmers in drought-stricken areas.
Yeah.
Have you heard T-Rain without the auto-tune, though? Is it actually really good?
No, I have not.
It's a T-Pain joke.
He's a really good
That's
singer.
Terrible.
Talking Rain.
A little late on that, Nick. When I bring a fire joke like that, I want it that's immediate.
How, that's how he says, oh, that fuck was, you from the booth.
That was actually early for his Chocolate Rain joke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It was. He
it obscured my Chocolate Rain joke.
You guys know, made eye contact like you were breaking back door, and he was throwing mm-hmm. you a noob. Demi, what's something else? You said you had a whole list of
what's
overrated
a movie?
Things.
Yeah, you said you had a movie in there. What's
well,
a movie?
I had the first two Star Wars movies. I think are overrated.
Ooh.
But that's a whole thing. I feel
wow.
like just saying that,
like
I'm
episodes,
get a tweet, just like what? Excuse me,
four and five.
Yeah, like A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
Yeah,
that, you do not hear that.
Get the fire extinguishers in here.
They're good. I just think that everyone, like people, talk about Empire Strikes Back as being like one of the greatest movies of all time, and I feel like every time I watch it, I'm just like, it's good. It uh-huh. is. That's the most I will say about it. It's good.
I don't think it's the best movie of all time. I think it's the best of the three Star Wars movies from that original trilogy.
Yeah, but not by much.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's my take.
Ooh, wow.
Hot take.
And you think
so
Jedi
hot, I'm gonna have to think.
Is the best movie that's ever been
There was
been
a
made.
Time when I did think Jedi really? Was the best one just because
You're
the
still
fight
a young man.
At the beginning. Right,
right,
because I'm this year's many years old. like the fight at the beginning and the fight at the end, I was like, this is the best fight I've ever seen. Why does everyone hate this? Just because of some fucking Ewoks? Whatever. They're like dogs. Enjoy them.
Right.
But
I mean, the real movie out of that series or the universe is Caravan of Courage and
of
Ewok
course.
Adventure.
Right.
I mean, that's really where it's at.
It's what everyone stayed for.
Okay, we can get to your underrated because I'm dying to hear if you think any Star Wars movies are underrated.
Oh, no.
Okay. I think they're just the whole,
yeah.
the whole franchise.
What if I was just like, yeah, I really think that the prequels are underrated. I still have not seen them, actually.
Oh.
I mean, no. Sebulba as a character, very underrated.
Right.
I don't even know who that
and
is.
And Watto.
That diner scene is up there with the Reservoir Dogs diner
yes,
scene.
Let's roll the chance cube. Or dice, as we call them on Earth.
Right.
But I like
chance
the chance cube.
Cube. Fuck you, George Lucas.
Fuck you, Watto.
Honestly, go fuck yourself. What's something you think is underrated?
I think the TV show Detroiters is underrated as fuck.
Okay.
Ah.
Because I feel like everyone I talk to has either never heard of it or never seen it, and it is easily the funniest thing that I saw all of last year.
God damn.
It's so good. It feels like if you watch Stella when it was on Comedy Central, it's like that,
so
except
good.
Just two people, and it's so goofy and sweet, and Sam
Which
Richards,
channel is it on?
It's on Comedy Central.
Wow.
Sam Richardson and
yeah, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. Yeah.
And
I
it's
saw
just
those
like,
guys as fresh faces at the Just for Laughs Comedy
oh, yeah?
Festival. And they were both so funny and
they're
so nice.
Incredible.
And you said
guys.
They're going places.
Yeah,
huh?
I said. Well, we at Cracked, we worked with Sam a lot right as he was blowing up. And then we worked with him less as he became like,
weird.
You know, the most famous guy in comedy.
He's like, is it compensation?
Yeah. And you know what? When you said that, I said fuck because I just never watched that show. And I know it's going to be great. I can't wait.
It got picked up for a second season, and I hope that more people watch it through the second season or else I'm worried it'll get canceled.
Right.
But I think it's so funny.
Yeah.
It makes me like genuinely laugh out loud like four times an episode. It's great.
What's the last show to make you do that? Just so I can get a baseline.
Probably like Nathan For You.
Oh, okay.
I feel like laughing out loud is something that rarely happens. I'm always just like, pretty good. It's pretty funny.
That Nathan For You finale. That needs an Emmy.
That fucking, yeah, needs an Emmy.
You will be the Joe Mandy of Detroiters.
I will.
I foresee it.
I'm a Detroiter boiter. That's not a thing.
Detroiter goiter.
Detroiter goiter.
What else? Anything else underrated that you want to tell us about? Because that was a fire underrated.
I said men wearing women's jackets is underrated.
Okay.
And
okay.
I say that as a man who has realized that women's jackets not only fit me better, but I get unanimous compliments on them whenever I walk around in like a nice fitting woman's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I bought a red leather jacket for a Halloween costume and then continued to wear it. And everyone's just like, that's such a cool jacket. And then I got this one jacket from this place in Echo Park called Big Bud Press that is like, in my life, I've never owned anything that people have been nicer to me about.
Right.
So I'm just like, I think women's jackets are the new thing.
Huh.
They're like, who makes it? And you're like, Donna Karen?
DVF. I don't know what that is.
Now you're wearing a very nice sweater right now. Is that?
This is not a woman's jacket. This is a man's jacket that's shrunk in the wash.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get that woman's jacket fit. Uh-huh. Without actually,
what is it about the fit that you think is better? Like,
I think it's
on
just
the
like
sides, the sleeves, the shoulders.
Yeah, it's like tighter. It just, I feel like it also looks a little different than people are used to when it's on a man's body. So I think people go, "Oh, wait, that looks different, but still fitting."
Huh. I had a homie from high school who would just he would like trying to act like he has style. And he would just dig through his mom's old clothes and like wear like one of her sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And like a lot of women would be like, "Ooh, I like that jacket." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then I'm like, "Yo, it's his mom's." And like, that's why I would love to wear that.
I like it because I imagine it on me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's also now to this day claims he's like a fashion designer. I won't put his name out there, but
damn.
He claims he's a fashion designer.
Yo, he's fucking whack.
You just described his career and said that it's just something he claims. So
yeah,
Kanye.
I hope he listens.
No, it is. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he a liar. He a liar.
All right.
Yeah, we have people in our lives like that who I've known him so long, but you know, sure. I don't really fuck with him.
We all got someone that claims they're mayor of Detroit or something.
Right.
All right. I want to give you the opportunity. Any overrated or underrated that you want to get out there before we move on? Because you've been 100%.
I think Soulja Boy is underrated.
Ooh.
And I know that that's a crazy thing to
Yo!
Say.
Yes.
Really? Even as it escapes my mouth, I'm just like, that might have been a mistake. But no, I think he's underrated. I think what he did for music between 2007 and 2010 alone is enough for him to still be like in the conversation when we talk about rappers that changed music.
And mm-hmm. So what, to you specifically, what did he change?
First of all, I think he added a weird sense of humor to rap that was not there before. Like, I think all of the SoundCloud rappers that exist nowadays would not exist without Soulja Boy. I think that, like, the weird, corny sensibilities you had with, like, Crank That and Speakers Going Hammer, like, those are everywhere now, and it feels like it's just normal, and we don't acknowledge where it came from, and everyone else gets credit for it.
Right.
But Soulja Boy, like, people make fun of him now because the shit he's doing now is not as good, if it's even, like, worth talking about. And he's getting into fights with, like, Bow Wow and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think, I don't know. I've been listening to his music a lot lately, and every time I hear one of his old songs, I'm just kind of like, yeah, this... Yeah.
He opened
this
a door.
This was a fun era. Yeah, he opened a door, and he just had so much fun releasing shit that was not intentionally not good. Like that song, Hey You There,
right.
Is just fucking nuts, but it's so funny, and I don't know. I feel like nowadays, I mean, there was a period where everyone had like skits on their album, but he was just kind of like, I'm not doing skits. This is just a full-on song. It might even be a single. Who knows?
Right.
So... I think Soulja Boy doesn't get enough credit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Hurricane Chris, he has to thank Soulja Boy for everything he
That's
has.
True.
So
for all, he has so much.
Yeah, I mean, there would be no Hurricane Chris without Soulja Boy. So,
all
very
right.
True.
And finally, we like to ask our guests, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
I think people believe that the Rotten Tomatoes rating system is about, like, that percentage is about of how good a movie is. It's not. It's about how many people just liked it, like, on any sense. Ew. If someone liked it and they say it's a 6 out of 10, that's a plus for them.
Right.
If, like, 100% of people surveyed said that they liked it okay, that's 100%. But if, like, 100 people said this movie is a 10 out of 10 and one person was like, I don't like it, then that's a 99. That's right. How Rotten Tomatoes works.
I am convinced that they are paid by certain studios or around certain movies to, on the in-between stuff, give it a thumbs up. Because, like, it's very subjective. Like, what they choose, like, a 2.5-star movie or a 3-star movie, depending on what, like, paragraph or sentence they choose to isolate, can be a rotten or a ripe, you
right.
know?
And well, I'm not sure if, like, the people who submit the reviews get to choose if it's rotten or not, but I would believe that. Although there are some Warner Bros. Movies that have shitty reviews, which is weird because Warner Brothers owns Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
I think that's only, like, it's been like 2 years now, and everyone was freaking out when it first happened because they were like, all the reviews are going to get skewed, and then like all the Batman movies came out and tanked, and they were like, okay,
right.
maybe not.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I remember with the Justice League shit, Yeah. They were like going to reveal the Rotten Tomatoes score because they knew they were going to sit on it to not just like discourage people right. from seeing it.
So they did like a countdown.
They're like, and it's an L.
Bad for us. Do you fuck with Metacritic?
I don't, because I feel like every critic has their own different sense of what a scale is.
Right.
And I'm not interested in like knowing what an 83 movie is like. I'm just like, will I like the movie or not? And then within that scale, I'll figure out how much I like it or don't.
So right. Do you have like critics that you sort of keep an eye on, or how do you determine whether you're interested in a movie?
I generally use Rotten Tomatoes because I feel like even when a movie's like a 60%, I'll go see it and then be like, oh, I really liked this movie, and I get right. why some people wouldn't. Or it's like a movie like Hereditary gets a 93 because everyone generally agrees. It's like, this is a good horror movie, but I don't know how I feel about it critically. And then I'm like, well, great, I'll make my own decision.
Right. What do you think of Hereditary?
I loved it, and I'm going to see it again tonight.
I'm like fucking terrified idiot. Of that movie. I've been talking to Miles about this for
a while. I know, like, in a weird way, like a kid who's really scared of it but fascinated by it, you're like, right. dude, it's a fucking Hereditary.
Look at this trailer, man.
Yeah, this shit looks fucked up.
I think it's like super fucked up, but very good. And I honestly think that it's the kind of movie that everyone who is like scared of it should go see.
Right.
Yeah.
So but you should take your young children.
Yeah.
Take your kids. Take the whole family.
Take your 1 year old.
Take the dog.
Yeah. Bring the baby. I don't know. It's getting a D+ on like the exit polling, which makes me like it even more because it's like, it's kind of got that Shining vibe where it like does something evil
maybe
to you a little bit.
Maybe push you too far as a viewer.
You walk away with like a virus of whatever thought the person had while making it.
People were leaving during my screening, which I didn't
expect.
Oh, really?
But
wow. Yeah.
Why? Because it was too scary, or they were like, or problematic to them? They're like, I can't get behind this.
I think a little bit of both. Like, I don't know how to describe it. There's some sequences that are like, it's not scary, but it's surprising and disturbing. And that's when like, I think the most people were just like, no, I'm not.
They're like,
I'm
not signed up for this. Yeah. I want to see people's heads pop off or something. Not real psychological
right,
horror.
Right,
I mean, Toni Collette's face that they've shown in the promotional pictures is enough for me to be like, yo, I'm already freaked out by this still photo.
I avoided
the little
girl,
too, is so scary.
All of it is so fucking freaky. And like, I avoided all of the trailers and everything because I was like, I'm just going to go see it. Everyone says it's great. And then seeing her face when she's screaming was horrifying, like more than almost anything else in the movie. Just Toni Collette's emotions, I'm just still stuck with.
Ooh. She's amazing.
She's great.
All right,
movies are great.
Let's get into the stories of the day. The story everybody's talking about: Domino's is fixing potholes. You guys,
we have to bow to our new supreme pizza leader, Domino's.
Let him take over everything.
Yeah, I agree. Super producer Anna Hosnier and I came out pro Domino's thin crust today. I said it's my favorite work of fast food artistry, and Miles acted like I had just
disgusting.
Stripped naked, and you know,
no, even when you strip naked in the office, I was like, hmm. But with this, I'm like,
you're like, where?
Wait, do you think that the thin crust is disgusting, or do you hate that he said it was that good?
No. Personally, when it comes to Domino's, I'm not looking at the thin crust pizza. I'm looking at that regular pizza because they revamped it with the herbs on the crust. I fuck with it heavy. And I used to work at a laser tag place doing kids' birthdays all the time where we only order for Domino's. And I used to have to eat a lot of leftover thin crust pizza, and I did not like it. It just felt like, I don't know, just like a cracker with pizza toppings on it.
That's
it doesn't
what
feel
I like
a pizza
it.
To me.
You're more about their public works, right? You've always said
that. I'm really about their civil conservation corps efforts that they've been doing, along with the Conservation Corps of Los Angeles County. But yes, this new thing is just kind of hilarious to me because the way they're marketing this whole fixing the potholes thing is they put a camera like in a box to be like, look how fucked up your pizzas get with these potholes. And like, I think they were off-roading because this shit was flying everywhere. But again, when you look inside, I mean, I'm sure you've had a pizza get delivered and it is like
stuck
a little wacky or something.
It's been years,
but yeah. But so their whole thing is, all right, we're fixing the potholes. And apparently right now they're fixing, just not everywhere, but a few cities, including Burbank, California, they fixed 5 potholes. Bartonville, Texas, 8 potholes fixed. 40 holes fixed in Milford, Delaware, and another 150 potholes filled in Athens, Georgia. So they're doing their thing. This is actually, I feel like, the beginning of what they described in Demolition Man with the franchise wars.
Yeah.
When Taco Bell became the supreme winner of the franchise wars, I feel like this is how this kind of shit starts.
We're going to get a president sponsored by, like, fucking the Chalupa melts or something.
Nearly there. I mean, based on the shit that went down at that summit, I feel like we're very close.
Yeah. I mean, Trump is basically sponsored by McDonald's
and
based
Diet
on
Coke.
His...
Yes.
Which
everything
are things
about
I co-sign. it's this whole governing by PR stunt thing that is like, I love it. Great gesture. And 40 holes fixed in Milford, Delaware seems like they're going above and beyond what would be required. You know, like fixing a couple in a big city would seem to be what you would do if you were just in it for the PR pop. So that's a lot of potholes. But at the same time, it seems like the sort of thing that everybody will lose interest in within a week, and just go back to
and also
not doing shit.
A commentary on how terribly ran these municipal governments are. Right. Where you're like, Domino's is like, I'm sorry, we're going to just fix it. And then they're being catty too, because once they patch the pothole, they're putting a stencil on with the Domino's logo. And it's like, yeah, we did it. Yeah, we did that.
That the fact, like, this being a sign of how the government has failed is maybe the worst thing about this to me. But overall, I just keep trying to, I look at it and go like, capitalism is fucking whack, but this is maybe a good thing.
Right.
And I'm just kind of like, I hope that this turns into a successful thing and other companies try this venture. Like, I want to see, like, Habitat for Humanity sponsored by Wendy's just housing a bunch of homeless people.
Right. Yeah, it's like the local Little League park being sponsored by the, you know, real estate firm,
right,
the local dentist or
but
whatever.
Do it like into real public works though, you know what I mean,
like going that, nationwide with it, that's kind of an interesting
like we're fixing
idea.
Potholes we're causing, like, we're gonna fix the housing problems in certain cities.
But then I also want the government to turn around and be like, oh, okay, this is embarrassing for us now, so we have to
no, if anything, they'll slash the budgets even more. They'll be like, dude, Domino's will pay for this shit.
They'll be like, we're doing 10 more military parades. We're not changing your taxes.
Right.
Do you fuck with Domino's pizza?
I do fuck with Domino's pizza. I was actually going to say I might agree with him on the thin crust.
Ooh. Wow.
Sorry, it's good.
Yeah.
They're
that's
right.
Fine. Look, that's fine. I don't need, this doesn't matter what y'all think. I live my truth.
Look who's wildly outnumbered.
It's not about numbers. My mom told me, just have your own judgment.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you will win with.
Yo, the
your mom told you to have
so
your
good.
Own judgment?
Yeah.
Sure.
And here I am. And I got all my friends to smoke weed. So tell me where that power dynamic's at.
All right, we're going to take
now they're off of Domino's.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and the news people are actually talking about, besides the Domino's thing.
Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
No, we'll get to that later. that is surprisingly, like, huge on... People are searching the fuck out of that on Google.
People love are it. Mad.
But the Singapore summit, guys.
Oh, that little old thing.
There are just so many details in this. First of all, I just need to ask the mainstream media. I've seen this on NPR, New York Times, lots of different places, CNN, where they're doing the, well, we looked at their body language and brought in a body language expert. There are no body language. You can't get a PhD in body language. No, those people are... fucking like con men who convince you to put them on the air. Like,
body language experts are just the guy who at night put on like feather caps and just go pick up women at bars and pull like the game
right,
on people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But there are some amazing details from this meeting.
Actually, one person who would be expert on body language, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Her album, Body Language. Yes. Okay, never mind. Bye.
Nope. We're keeping that. We're keeping that, Nick.
No, keep that.
It stays.
I'm not ashamed.
That's going to work for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be like, no, not in the room at all. I was going to say that or Body Party by Ciara. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say Ciara, and then I forgot.
That's Body Party, and I was like, wait, Body Language? Kylie.
I'm glad that you had a backup ready to go.
I know. Yeah. Look at that.
I'd take L's very comfortably on this show.
So the first most amazing thing. I mean, let's just cover the overall coverage. LA Times is the only mainstream media outlet that is like not normalizing this, like are not just using a Trump quote as the headline.
Right, because I guess up top they met, right?
Right.
And they came out and yesterday I was saying, watch, they're probably going to sign something and they'll call it a win.
He did not put him in a headlock. He did not, like,
no.
Nothing just disastrous happened.
No, yeah. So they came out and they were like, yay, look, we shake hands, blah, blah, blah. And I've just acted like this human rights violator is a cool guy. But yeah, every sort of headline was just like this spinny version of it and not like an objective reporting of it. So yeah, like I was pointing out this morning, the New York Times, Trump and Kim see new chapter for nations after summit. Washington Post, Trump-Kim summit. Trump says, we have developed a very special bond at end of historic meeting. Wall Street Journal, Trump-Kim begin new phase of diplomacy. LA Times, Trump and Kim agree to more talks but fail to produce nuclear disarmament plan.
Right.
Like, that's what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Like, so everybody who, oh my God, look what he did. Look, this is the whole thing. I mean, yes, this is, sure, he met with Kim Jong-un like no president has had because they chose not to, because doing that validates his sort of existence as a leader and gives him the normalizes him as a leader, which is not something we're trying to do. A lot of presidents knew that was the thing that they wanted, North Korea, and we gave that to him. But other than that, not really much happened aside from the U.S. giving a lot away.
This feels like the global version of when people, like Nazis online, will just be like, oh, if you stick by your ideals, then debate me on them. It's like, yeah, but if we debate, then I'm accepting that it's something that you might have a reason to believe. And it's like, no, fucking get rid of your nukes.
You're putting it on equal footing,
right? Yeah.
Essentially.
And that's what they wanted. And like even the buildup to it, they were very adamant about everything being equal to the number of flags, to the number of like sort of support staff that would be in the meeting and everything like that. Everything was meant to look like they were on equal footing, that North Korea is on equal footing with the United States.
Yeah.
Weirdly, the only other media outlet that I'm seeing be kind of overtly skeptical in their headlines is the Drudge Report, which they just seem to be kind of sounding that like Trump surprises with pledge to end military exercises in South Korea, but denuclearization details scant. Like, those are the top two stories.
Well, you know,
so it seems like maybe on the conservative side, other than Fox News, which there's a great video that compares how Fox News talked about Obama just saying he might meet with Kim and this meeting, and it's amazing. But this is a sign that maybe some on the conservative side aren't, like, totally on board.
Well, Ben Shapiro was even bitching about, like, him meeting with Kim because they're like, why is he doing this? Because, you know, some people agree that, like, this is not a friend of the United States. It's not someone to treat as your homeboy. And what's funny too, I remember people were showing how when Obama went to Cuba, because everyone was like, well, he went to Cuba and blah, blah, blah. I remember when Castro tried to like lift his arm up and Obama was just like, don't raise my hand with you, dog. And it was just trying to like did the most limp arm thing.
Right.
Meanwhile, and then you juxtapose that with Trump like hugging him, being like, this guy's so talented.
Right.
Like, what the fuck
the
is he talented?
The quotes he has of saying like, wow, his people really love him. He must be doing something right. It's just like,
Yo.
Is that based off what he told you?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or his staff that was there and like, we love Supreme Pizza.
He truly does like report the last thing that anyone told him as like, well, I guess that's the fact.
That's what is so dangerous about like starting conversations. You would think that this is like, it's got to be a good thing that they're not threatening each other. But putting anyone in a room with Trump, it's just he takes whatever they're saying as fact. And
well, yeah. What's when you think about it, though, part of me, you know, I think before we were like, well, nothing's going to happen. Whatever, Trump's predictable. But there were so many moments where you could tell that Trump being just not a smart leader was kind of confusing to Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment where they were, like, setting up for a lunch. He's like, yeah, take a picture of us and make us look real thin and handsome or whatever. And then the camera pans over to Kim Jong-un, and he's like, what the fuck is this dude talking about?
I am thin.
Right. And then in the meeting, we find out that Trump played Kim Jong-un on an iPad a four-minute video of, like, a fake trailer to a fake movie that was basically like a weird trailer to like capitalism / world peace.
Yeah, but it's almost like how a Fortune 500 company in the early 2000s would have like introduced a new insurance plan or
right.
something. Like
right.
It's just like this like really whack, like poorly put together conglomeration of fucking stock footage and shit. That's just
well. Here we'll play some
we'll
audio.
Play just some audio, and then I will describe some of the imagery. For
right,
it.
And just consider the fact that this is the beginning of a video that Donald Trump is showing to fucking Kim Jong Un as they talk about possible denuclearization. Clearly, that didn't happen, but this is how we're using diplomacy.
History is always evolving, and there comes a time when only a few are called upon to make a difference.
Image
but
of
the
Kim
question
Jong-un.
Is,
image of Donald
what difference will the few make? The past doesn't have to be the future. Out of the darkness can come the light, and the light of hope can burn bright.
What the fuck?
There can only be two results. One of moving back.
Jesus Christ. This is insane. This is legit. This is something you would play if
or one of
their dictator
forward.
Was a child, like a literal
yes.
4-year-old who needed to be explained.
Right.
Or and if your dictator was a child
correct.
And assumed that everybody else was at his same
I
level.
I wonder if people made this for Trump to be like, here's the briefing. He was just kind of like, look, here.
Right.
Look for you.
Yeah. Like, that's how they got Trump to figure out how he has to go into this. Okay, it's a binary choice.
Pictures production?
Yeah.
Jeez,
yes.
That's...
They open, guys, with a like
a card.
A card. Like it's a movie opening and it says a Destiny Pictures production. It ends with from Destiny Pictures featuring President Donald Trump and Chairman Kim Jong-un. And the quote from Donald Trump is something about like how I see great possibilities and very presidential. And Kim Jong-un's line is, we will no longer have to tighten our belts, which... suggest like that's not something you would put in there if this was made for Kim Jong-un. So I think your theory might actually be accurate that they made this as a way of getting him like fucking psyched up for the meeting.
It's
and he
awful.
Was just like, yo, look how tight
I
this
love
is.
Just imagining that there is like a high schooler with After Effects who's just been
After
offered-
Effects. My
okay,
guy,
sorry.
Sony Vegas, maybe
Windows Movie Maker,
yeah,
like an
right.
old version who's in like who just got hired out of high school just to do this
I'm
to explain
pretty sure
everything.
There was a fucking Star Wars. Wipe in
but,
it like the editing already I mean you know from working in production I couldn't handle how like Bush League the editing was
yeah.
too and it's just it looks like something like even a North Korean video editor would be like fam
right
no, you can come harder than this
and just
Avid or you're doing cross dissolves really?
Just okay. a description of the imagery that isn't Kim Jong-un and Trump are a herd of wild horses galloping across like water, speedboats racing each other.
Well, when the word prosperity is mentioned, that's the thing, is like prosperity.
Speedboats?
And it's two speedboats
racing. Like, there's no way this was not. Keys. There's no way Kim Jong-un is like interested in speedboats.
Right.
Well, they do throw him a bone because at one point they say something positive and they show a slam dunk. And
but literally,
like a dude dunking in the worst stock footage fake basketball uniform you've ever seen. It's like this like purple thing. That,
I think
like,
it said Kroger on it or something. It was so
just
bland and generic.
Use like a video of Dennis Rodman to be like, hey,
that's what we
remember?
Said. You couldn't just pull it of the flu game or the shot.
You think the NBA would be like, we got to ask you to take this down, my guy?
Yeah.
Like,
I bet they would, honestly. They'd just be like, we don't want to be a part
Fuck
of this.
Fuck world peace.
Right.
We got to protect Brian Russell's image.
Dealing with this shit, we don't want to get involved.
Right. Major League Baseball, now they would tell them to take it down. But but there's also a message in there. So you heard him say, like, there's two different directions you can take it. And it's basically, part of it is a trailer for capitalism where you see, like, time-lapse footage of buildings being built and, like,
cars,
you know,
being built,
huge complexes on the beach. Like, this is what we're going to do for you, Kim Jong-un. And then, like, in the middle, it's like, or we can go backwards. And then they just, like, show a bunch of missiles being launched and, like, the fucking film melting, like, that effect from, like, movies about nuclear apocalypse. So it's basically like, hey, you know, we want to be your friend or we'll kill you. Like,
this is like an AP history class project.
Yes. It really has that vibe. Like, that this is something that, like, I could have seen be made, like, back when I was in school, which was a long time ago. So, guys, Jesus Christ.
There's a quote when they're at Trump, like, they asked him, he's like, I think he loved it, is what he said about the.
Oh, boy.
He said the optimistic outcome could, quote, very well be the future. And then when they asked if he was worried that North Koreans could use it as propaganda, as they often do, he goes, no, not at all. We can use that for other countries.
Right.
Just dust it off.
Right.
And put it in someone else's face.
Yes.
And this is our new diplomacy. Show them the pump up video for capitalism.
So I do just want to highlight something, Miles, that you mentioned, because I think this meeting had both my favorite moment of just Trump being Trump fuckery and also just a perfect explication of like what is horrifying about the idea of this meeting. So first of all, you talked about they're at this photo op, they're about to sit down, and Trump turns to the camera and says, are you taking good pictures? Make us look handsome and skinny.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a great passive aggressive. That's where he's great. He's great at being like a catty bitch who like likes to gossip about people, because there's a great footage of him saying that and then like the office like pan over to Kim Jong-un and he's just like blinking.
Yeah,
like what the fuck?
What the fuck did you just say
about me?
He's like, in my country, I would have you hit with anti-air artillery,
right,
point blank.
Just like, next time we have this meeting, just come stop by.
Right.
Come check out this missile launcher.
But yeah, just acknowledging that he, like Trump, is a fat guy is just a brilliant bit of, like, I'm sure spur of the moment, like, diplomacy.
100%.
Because nobody has ever told that dude.
I bet that is the moment where he's just like, nah, I'm keeping these nukes.
Right? Yeah, fuck
or
you.
Or if I fucked him up, too. Because also, I'm sure he probably expects to meet a president. He would be like, hey, are you, what's good, motherfucker? Let's sit down.
Yeah.
Figure this out. Meanwhile, he's like, oh, hey, hi, what's up? What's cool? I'm Donald. Hi, you Kim? Cool. You have a cool suit on. I love your hair. You're very talented.
Right.
And you're like, what did I do?
Right.
Like, that's also want to know, was there a talent aspect to this thing for him to be like, he's very talented?
Right.
Very talented.
I don't
He did
know.
A Kendama demonstration.
Why
I'd
would his
seen.
People love him otherwise?
I only know one language. He seems to know another one. That's pretty impressive.
I don't know what it was. I think it might have been some Game of Thrones stuff. But
it was definitely Game of Thrones.
The scariest quote, or like the one that is just like the most pathetic, was in the aftermath in Trump's interview with George Stephanopoulos. I think we have it queued up.
He trusts me, I believe, I really do. I mean, he said openly, and he said it to a couple of reporters that were with him, that he knows that no other president ever could have done this. I mean, no other he knows the presidents. He knows who we had in front of me. He said no other president could have done this. I think he trusts me, and I trust him.
Bring it back to Obama, baby.
Could have done what? Because you didn't succeed. So it kind of sounds like you're saying, like, you know, other presidents, they would have, this would have been done. But
yeah,
you...
well, no, that's a horrible mischaracterization of how this works.
Yeah. Right?
It's not that no one couldn't have done it. They refused to do it because they were like, no, you will not have a seat with the sitting president of the United States until you've actually made gestures.
Some concessions.
Yeah, that we can tell you are serious about this, because this is the same shit. And a lot of critics are saying even this 4-point deal they signed, or this whatever, this agreement or declaration, is the language is even weaker than past similar agreements that we've engaged in with North Korea and the, like, so with past administrations.
What does the declaration even entail?
It's just so vague. It's like, we have security assurances and they're committed to the denuclearization of the peninsula.
Right.
Like, there's nothing about CVID, which is like the real thing that everyone's talking about, complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is like one thing everyone's like, yo, until you have that, you don't have shit.
The only reference to denuclearization that is concrete is referencing back to the South Korean agreement that they already made. So
right.
It's like, yeah, we already made our concession and Trump gave him the concrete. We will no longer do the military exercises.
Military exercises. And who knows if we even follow through on that, because that... I mean, those are coming up soon, because South Korea immediately, like, they were like, we are going to need a second to figure out what the fuck this dude just said.
Right.
Like, in regards to the halting of military exercise.
Yeah. But that quote, that part where he describes how Kim said he's the only president who could have done it, it's like the one sort of worst case scenario was Kim was having this meeting because he heard from the Chinese dictator that if you just tell this guy whatever he wants to hear, he'll be eating out of your hand. And like, that's exactly what that sort of exchange, that description seems to imply. Like,
I almost
it
believe
it should be viewed skeptically because it's being said by a mass murderer who is trying to get something from you.
Right.
But he was just like, he likes me.
He
really
likes me.
Likes me more than Obama.
What about the human rights stuff, Trump? Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that.
Right. I didn't say he was nice.
I fully believe there's just a group text of, like, the world's dictators just like, you can fucking anything. It's a
right.
goddamn
they're like,
rubber
yo,
lamp.
Yo, Kim just fucking really went there. They're like, okay. All right, Kim, I see you.
Right.
Assad is next.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, the thing which is also just so interesting, I almost believe that maybe Trump made that up because he was speaking Korean and he was like, what did he say? Did he say that I was the only president that could do this? And they're
right.
like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's what I thought he said. So
I
that's what he said to the other people who speak another language that'll take very long for you to figure out if that's what they actually said. Because
he just saw it was going well and was like, I don't think any other president can do this, right? And Kim just maybe nodded and he's like, that's a good one.
Sure, asshole, whatever you want.
Right.
It also, just the beginning of that quote too, where he's just like, he liked me, I think. It just seems so...
Yeah. So needy.
Yeah.
So fucking thirsty.
So needy
for a win,
and so weirdly, not honest, but just like... Of all the things to say in this interview, when he clearly just wants to get to Obama couldn't do this, for him to be like, I think it went well, is so strange.
Yeah.
Of a, I don't know. His brain is broken.
Yeah, it would seem to be.
Well, I mean, the cool Kim Jong-un. I mean, just look at the Iran deal and then let me know if you're still comfortable making deals with this country.
Right.
Because it's funny, too. For all that shit he was talking about the Iran deal, this dude comes with the weakest fucking language possible for this agreement. And isn't really even pressing the fact after it, you know, about like, no, like we got to really make sure. It's like, well, you know, this
right.
is a first, this is a start. And that's why some people were speculating that that's why the trip was cut short of like, oh, we're not even need another few days or whatever, is because secretly they weren't able to actually get the kinds of concessions they really wanted.
Right.
And we're like, well, fine, let's cut it short. We'll just call this a meet and greet for now. And then we can come back to the negotiating table, because it wasn't like anything that's an actual win, including... when he said, oh, well, they destroyed that test site and blah, blah, blah. Kim Jong-un has made that clear that he did that on his own because he was demonstrating to the world that he's a reasonable nuclear superpower now or whatever.
Right.
It wasn't because of pressure. He was like, no, I'm doing it because, you know, I'm not trying to scare everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. The comparison between this and the Iran deal is pretty crazy. But.
Yeah. Where's the verification here in this one, my guy?
Yeah, because they haven't even given justification for doing either.
It's just optics, you know, and great, everybody can go rah, rah, rah in their MAGA hats and act like, you know, this dude just 4D chest him. But, I mean, there was nothing in here that suggests that anyone is going to do what they say they are going to do, with the United States included.
And Trump has proven many times that if someone says that they didn't do something bad, he just goes, I believe him. Like, all of the Putin shit, he just came out of every meeting just going, he says he didn't do it, and I believe him.
Yeah,
and
right.
we're like, you have multiple agencies telling you that there is proof that this happened.
Right,
right.
I asked him, and he didn't do it.
It's like he killed his uncle with an artillery cannon.
I know.
Point blank. He said he didn't do it. He said he didn't do it. He said it'd be very messy and a waste of ammo.
Show me the video. Show me the Carfax.
Like, wait, for people who don't know what artillery can, like, that's a
anti-aircraft gun.
Yeah, anti-aircraft gun that will disintegrate your body, like, I with mean, a single
Is there even a word for what would happen to you? I don't know. It's so fucking violent.
Yes. But on the other hand, we do think that Trump might have picked up a new idea for what to do with his poop.
Yeah.
Because Kim Jong-un brought his own sort of porta potty, like high-end porta potty thing that contains his poop so that no intelligence agencies could get to
his shit.
Do we talk about shit too much on the show now?
No, we've talked about it on the last three episodes. The Daily Bowel Movement is a new show.
Daily Shitegeist?
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh. Ooh.
Daily.
Well, that's what your haters will call you.
Yeah,
right.
The Daily Scheißegeist. Anyway, so, what's funny is, dude, Kim Jong-un there were reports even leading up to this that he was afraid someone was going to try and assassinate him while he was there. To say the least, a man who's only left the country like three times since taking power might be a little paranoid because there were apparently like decoy planes that were like being dispatched to like confuse people. He brought his own unpoisoned food. And yeah, and the toilet was just the other part of his comfort package.
Yeah, I mean, he traveled to his ally, China, in a bulletproof train.
Yeah.
So like this dude does
like,
not,
literally the one from Snowpiercer,
fucking with
I think.
His own safety. So... That is a thing that they were really worried about, was containing his bowel movements. And you think it seems paranoid. And then you learn that Stalin's secret police actually stole other world leaders' poop and sent them to a secret lab to construct psychological profiles on them. And, you know, now it's starting to sound pretty smart. And according to an ex-CIA person who super producer Nick Stumpf heard interviewed.
Hangs out with.
Yeah. This is
his
something.
Neighbor Rick.
This is something that U.S. intelligence operations do all the time because, you know, everything is revealed in people's shit.
Yeah. Hasn't that been
medications, illnesses, pathogens, it's all in there.
How has that not been like an entire episode of Veep? Just someone stealing their shit and having to get it back.
Yeah.
Just with like, one time use chopsticks and like a doggy bag. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna chop it up.
Anyways, that's the best story from this summit. But...
Well, the other thing too is to know that beyond this is like normal because he has like a shitting car too that he uses in North Korea, like with a toilet built into it.
Yeah, because I mean, it's funny because in the quote where they talk about that, the spokesperson references his regular morning shits that he takes. He's like, if he doesn't take a shit in the morning like normal, then he will have to travel in like an extra secure like
shit car.
But it's just funny that he both knows about his shitting routine like throughout the day and also assumes knowledge on behalf of the North Korean people on it. Like if he doesn't take the morning
his usual
trip to
morning
the restroom,
shit. That's like me. Wow. Maybe I should talk to him. Like, we got a lot in common, bro.
It's so funny that every time I hear Trump doing something crazy, there's no justification for it that works with me. But then you give me like, oh, so Kim Jong-un shits, like has a special toilet he carries around. I'm like, that's fucking whack. 10 minutes later, I'm like, now that makes sense. He's got to protect himself.
Yeah, can't have your shit stolen.
Can't have your shit stolen.
Yeah, because they're saying like even Mao Zedong had his shit stolen by Stalin. So I guess like when you're in that world of like still thinking like how the Soviets move and shit, like that really, you're always thinking like, yo, gotta keep these shits under lock and key.
Yeah, they found Trump shit. They got a piss tape. He's like, nah, I don't need that happening to me.
Right.
I mean, I think one last thing that I just do want to bring up is, you know, we talked a lot of shit about Dennis Rodman being there. You know, and what was the most wild thing I had ever heard was people like James Clapper and other people in the intelligence community like admit on the air, be like, you know, Dennis Rodman may be a good bridge to Kim Jong-un, and being like, yeah, he might have someone going here. And, you know, a lot of people were laughing at him, not to say that he even really contributed to this specific summit, but he definitely was there in his MAGA hat and Potcoin T-shirt. In one of the more bizarre fucking moments I think I've seen on TV, like weeping about how happy he was about this on CNN. I've listened to this awesomeness, I guess.
Everybody said, the door will open. And it was amazing. When I said those things.
Oh, God.
When I said those damn things.
When he breaks down into
tears.
When
I went back home. I got so many death threats. I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look. Like a priest.
Yeah. I had to hide out. I had nowhere. I couldn't go home because I was evicted. But I couldn't go home. Look, Dennis Rodman, you aren't the guy you think you are, but... you do have the honor of knowing both of these people, the distinct honor of being
James Clapper did. Yeah. Like, he was like, yeah, I mean, he is one of the only bridges that we had prior to Trump meeting with him to Kim Jong-un. And you pointed out that it almost felt like James Clapper, who at the time of that meeting was the head of the CIA, director of the CIA, like that he was trying to... maybe develop him as an asset or something.
Well, because... Him saying that does give credence to this idea that he was maybe a CIA asset or had been approached by the CIA prior to going to North Korea with the Harlem Globetrotters, or that that was maybe part of a whole other thing to be like, look, bro, he fucks with the Bulls, and you're the weirdest one we could get.
Jordan is not down.
Yeah. Bill Wennington did not want to go.
Oh, the CIA definitely has approached Michael Jordan about going to meet him. For sure.
You think there's so? But no Michael Jordan is such an asshole that they're probably like, actually, no. Michael Jordan probably have fucked the meeting up worse than Donald Trump.
Too competitive.
He'd be like, who the fuck are you? Right. Get the fuck out my seat.
You're
you like cigars? You like my big ass hoop earring?
What shoes you got?
Yeah. What are those? Literally, what are those, my man? Because they're not fucking Jordans.
How long do you guys think it'll be until a rapper brags about having a shit car? And who do you think it'll be?
I bet Young Thug did that 2 years ago. We just missed it.
Yeah, before anybody knew.
Oh, so Clapper, he was the DNI, Director of National Television, back then, 2010 to 2017.
Not my bad, Jim.
I had to fact check myself.
Uh-huh. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll finally get to the story everyone's really talking about.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and just a quick preview of the Jimmy Kimmel versus Ted Cruz basketball game. We spoke last week on the Daily Zeitgeist, this very show, about the fact that Ted Cruz referred to a basketball hoop as the basketball ring while visiting Indiana, and so presumably has never picked up a basketball.
Not true. They say that he played varsity hoops in high school. So, who knows what that means, though? That's when literally the only play they did was a three-man weave.
He means, like, pushing hoops with a stick.
Yeah, exactly. That game, I was so funny. I was just talking this weekend to my friends about that. What the fuck was that game? Just throw a wooden hoop down the street and just prod it with a stick and run around?
This is a time where there are 10 objects in the world. You do what you can.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway.
It's rolling.
I digress. Back to this story. Yeah. We'll see what happens. So it all started because after Game 7, Kimmel said some shit about Ted Cruz looking like a blobfish, which he kind of does. Yeah. And then Cruz was like, all right, we'll bring your punk ass to the court and get rolled the fuck up. We're going to play one-on-one basketball. And so this Saturday at the Texas Southern University, they are going to be playing one-on-one in what should be the most low-energy, uninteresting game between two Caucasian men.
Yeah.
Just balling out of control.
They don't, like, get to draft their own teammates or anything?
No, it's pure.
That would be so funny.
As they put it, baller versus blobfish. So yep. We'll see what happens.
Kimmel a baller?
I don't think we're. Kimmel's probably going to get his ass kicked if Cruz played varsity hoops.
I would love to see that and, like, watch.
Kimmel's like a.
Ted Cruz with a nasty drop step.
I don't want to see proof that Ted Cruz is good at anything.
I don't either.
I don't either, but I would also laugh so hard if, like, Ted Cruz actually, he was on some, like, Uncle Drew shit.
Yes.
Hit fucking Kimmel with, like, a nice jab step, have him falling back, fade away, like, get the fuck
out
of here.
Or if they just have, like, Steve Nash and Ted Cruz makeup.
It's such a fake fucking scam. Oh, I love it. I have to see this because it's probably going to be one of those things that anyone who's ever even played half a minute of any sport will instantly be like, I'm better than these assholes.
Yeah.
Get me in here. I'm definitely using this matchup of all time to feel good about myself.
He definitely throws like granny style, right?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All shots.
He like has a step back jumper, but it's granny style.
Oh, shit.
He's just going to like pull fouls. He's just, oh, great. I'm granny shot.
Yo, imagine if he does the two-handed dribbling like, with both hands. Oh, wow. I honestly, you know there are going to be so many gifts to come out of here.
Yeah.
That'll
be how I see it.
That's really what this is for. They're giving meme fuel to the internet.
Sure.
And we have to move on to
the
relationship everybody's talking about.
Yes.
Ariana Dominoes Grande in the street.
Oh. And Pete Davidson.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Are engaged. We just found out they were dating and were still incredulous. And suddenly now they're engaged again, matching tattoos.
That's where you know. You never get the tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who is younger, got the tattoo, and they're still together.
Yes, it's worrisome, but at the same time, I want so much to just be like, maybe they'll work it out and just try to be happy for them. But just so many things about this just point to it not being a wise idea.
I mean, they're both Pete Davidson's new out of recovery and Ariana Grande.
They like both just broke up with people.
Yeah, it's got that, Miles, they're you were so saying young. It has that, like, your friends who just got out of rehab.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's like, they get out of rehab, but they already fell in love with somebody in rehab, and they're like, right. Oh, and you want to feel good, because you're like, well, you're happy.
Yeah, and you're projecting all that good and healthy shit onto another human being.
Yeah, I mean, aside from all that, when I heard about the tattoos, that's when I was like, nope.
Yeah,
I was willing to just be like, fine, you've only known each other 24 days and you're engaged, fine.
It's going to be like Johnny Depp with his Winona Forever tattoo. He's got to change it.
Right.
I mean, I guess Janae Aiko is still with Big Sean and she has that fucking whole Big Sean face tattoo. So.
She's a face tattoo?
Yeah. Not his face on her, not on her face.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, you better watch out. But no, they're still together. So.
I gotta be with someone like 10 years before I even think about getting their initials or something. That seems just like so much.
That's a lot. On the other hand, dude, shout out to the men of SNL who are suddenly dating like A-list celebrities. Pete Davidson's dating Ariana Grande.
Engaged, my man.
Engaged to Ariana Grande, and Colin Jost is dating Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk?
Look, man.
Yo, this
funny,
did not
funny
happen.
Wins.
Adam Sandler is not out here like dating. I don't know who the equivalent is.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina.
Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. Well, look. You know, looks aren't everything, guys.
They're both still like very handsome men.
Yeah,
though.
No, for sure, for sure.
It's Pete just... Davidson looks like him and Rami Malek fell off the same tree, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are both hot men.
They got that hot Edward Scissorhands look.
Yeah. Pale. The kind of pale where it's like, yeah, they're white, but they're not really white.
Yeah, it's like trippy. You're like, ooh, that's not
right,
regular.
Right,
like
you, ghostly.
Like, are you sickly or just mysterious?
Ariana's like, I want to figure out what's down there.
Yeah. I need to know.
I'm dating you so I can do that 23andMe.
And finally, millennials are staying at home to drink because going out, quote, takes too much effort.
Yeah.
Good.
It does. And this is a study that came out by Mintel, whatever they do. But they were showing that, like, I guess 55% of Americans, they like to drink at home, which makes sense. I mean, that's not, like, that crazy. But the stats that they're pointing to is from this study say that almost 3 in 10, 28% of younger millennials, 24 to 31, drink at home because they believe it takes too much effort to go out. In comparison, only 15% of baby boomers agree it takes too much effort to drink away from the house because they just drink at Whole Foods and do that kind of weird shit.
Now, is this like having friends over and drinking?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
okay.
They like it because it's less effort. It's more personal. Some people say they can control their drinking at home more. I mean, I don't know what that means. I think you're probably more likely to drink less because you're broke.
Right.
Out going
well,
out because
shit costs
too much.
If you go to
money.
A bar, you don't know like how strong they're going to make the drinks and shit like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well,
so
if you go out, you know what bars they get the heavy hand.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
This continues a trend. Like millennials don't fucking go to grocery stores anymore.
Right.
All of our food is delivered. Costco is too stressful. So it makes sense that, like,
you're
just
killing
retreating.
The diamond industry, Miles.
Yeah, I'm killing the diamond industry, propping up Big Avocado.
Yeah.
You know?
I do love this trend of news stories where it's just, you know, baby boomers just reacting to millennials doing cost-saving things because the economy sucks and being like, look at this trend.
They're ruining
what is
it.
I invest so much in diamonds. Why?
Kids these days.
Well, yeah. Or also just blaming their own lack of ingenuity on, like, the changing taste of a younger generation and not being able to adapt.
Yeah.
That's also cool, too. Oh, it's their fault. Not because I think that we need to do everything in this set way. But I guess, you know, like, it gives... a little bit of weight to the idea of like a lot of these pop-up bars and restaurants, like they're so wildly successful because like they give people like a place to flex their social media. Like I guess especially like in LA, like you think about that Saved by the Bell spot that they opened up, the Max or whatever, and
the
everyone's
Austin
like
Powers one.
Yeah, and everyone just wants to go and be like, look, I'm at the Max, and like sad ass actor Mr. Belding is there.
Yeah,
Dennis Haskins.
And also.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Like one of the main reasons people used to go to bars is to like meet people. And now you have dating apps to do that for you. So like you just have like more efficient ways to do the things that people did at bars.
But is it more, I guess there's efficiency in terms of like outcomes to meet a mate. But what it happens is it takes away is people like their skills to socialize in a healthy way. Because I feel like
For sure.
Because I have friends too where a lot of these apps have like sort of enabled them to be even more awkward. Mm-hmm. Because, like, normally you'd be like, yo, we got to go out because it's the only fucking place to go.
Right, we're
going to drink at home and meet nobody?
Right.
So, and then now it's like, well, I got the app, I got this, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, come on, man. Let's let the fucking light hit our skin. The sun hit it, kiss our bodies.
Yeah. I got windows, though.
Yeah, right. Windows is like, you know, in Ski Free, if you jump over the tree, it'll go on fire.
Demi, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Where can people find you, follow you? I said you are a must follow, so.
I am at Justin Bieber on Twitter.
All right.
Gotta see me. No, I'm at Electra Lemon.
And on Twitter, Instagram, anything like that?
Yeah, both of those.
Electra Lemon.
Yes. And also, I do a podcast called Punch Up the Jam that you can subscribe to.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you do on Punch Up the Jam?
We take music that most people know, talk about how fucked up the lyrics are, and then we rewrite the songs.
Ah, what's the latest one?
I'm trying to think of what the last one we did is. We did It Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
Uh-huh.
We're doing Summer Girls coming out this week.
How do you punch up It Wasn't Me to be less problematic?
Well, we don't make it less problematic. Oh. We just put it in a different context and say, all right, this scenario would not work if he was in, like, he killed somebody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she even caught me on camera.
Right.
I was banging in the shower. Okay.
Yeah, those lyrics are
they're great.
Crazy.
Insane.
The American Pie of the fake reggae world.
Mm.
That's a thing that seems like it should have been 100 years ago. That was actually only like 20 years ago. Miles, where can people find you?
On Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
On your special toilet.
On my special toilet aka my squatty potty.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Link off to the information that we talked about on today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Just, you know, a little easy listening beat track after just high stress day. Mm. Just relax. And this track is called That Thong by Cook and Soul. And it's just like it sounds like you would think it's like a Cisco thing, but you know, it's more of a vibey instrumental track. Quick one.
All right.
Enjoy that.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
No other president besides Trump could have got this meeting.
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.